Good evening. We're standing less than 24 hours before Rosh Hashanah, the Yom HaKadosh V'Hanora. And I think looking back at the year that just was, a lot of us, I think, feel that it was a little bit of a tough year. Maybe we feel like we've been whacked with COVID, Meron, Surfside, all kinds of things that we can't really wrap our heads around. And it brought to mind the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. The Pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, Shama shamati Ephraim misnodeid. Hashem says, I heard Ephraim complaining to me. Ephraim is a beloved name for Klal Yisrael. Yisartani. This is what Klal Yisrael complained to Hashem. Hashem, Yisartani. You've given me a difficult time. You've given me tzaris. Va'ivaser, and I took it, ke'egel lo lumad, like an uneducated calf. That's what the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu says. And I want to share with you an incredible Malbim, who I think echoes a lot of the emotion that so many of us are coming into this Rosh Hashanah with, sort of feeling a little bit beaten up from a rough year to so many people. And the Malbim explains that as follows. We come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we say, Yisartani, you banged us up. You punished us. You hurt us a little bit. And you know, says the Malbim, there are two ways that a person could come to tshuva, two ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could generate, could motivate Klal Yisrael to do tshuva. Number one, he could, you know, give us a little patch, and that pushes us to tshuva miyura. Or alternatively, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be megala to us, his elokus, with nisim, with niflos, and when we are so impressed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us, and we see His Hashgacha so clearly in our lives, we'll come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'ahava. And there are two modes that generate the same conclusion. And first, we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, you've gave us Yisurin, Yisartani. And you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It hasn't worked. Yisartani. And the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Va'ivaser, all that we've gained is Va'ivaser, you hit me, and all that happened is I got hit. Sometimes you're raising a child and you try to get them to do what you want them to do, which is not always a smart thing, and you have no way to communicate other than you give a slap. And you know what you really accomplished? Not necessarily what you wanted to accomplish. All you accomplished is that now your kid was slapped. That's what we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You gave us tzaris, Yisartani, Va'ivaser, that's all we have. It didn't change us. We look back at COVID, are we different people? Are we different in shul because we weren't able to be in shul? Are we different with our friends because we weren't able to be with our friends? Are we different with our family because we weren't able to hug our parents and our grandparents and our grandchildren? Are we different because of COVID? You smacked us and we're just the same. We didn't improve. We didn't change. And therefore, you know what we're like? We're like an egel lo lumad, like an uneducated calf. What happens when you take a calf who's working, a cow who's pulling the plow, says the Malbim, and he's just starting out his profession, pulling the plow. He starts walking off to smell the daisies and he gets whipped. He doesn't know what being whipped means. He just gets whipped and still smells the daisies because he doesn't realize that when you get whipped, you pull back. You go back to the furrow that you're supposed to be plowing. And that's what we say, that's what Yirmiyah says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We feel like we've been whipped like an egel lo lumad. We didn't know how to take the message that you're sending us. And therefore, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashiveni va'ashuva, ki ata Hashem Elokai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that way of communicating to us is not working, so please speak to us in a different language. Please bring me back through the unique Hashkacha Pratis that you can show on that you could show to us, that you could pour on us, so that what? Va'ashuva, so that it will be successful, that gili that you pour on us will successfully bring us back to you, to tshuva. Tshuva, not meyira, but tshuva me'ava. And that's what we're asking from HaKadosh Baruch Hu after what I think for many of us was a very, very, very difficult year. And what happens when we come back with that tshuva that we're asking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Well, the next pasuk tells us in a way that we've heard before and we're familiar with. Haben yakir li Ephraim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us as our chosen, beloved, delicious child. Yelid Shashum, the child of my delight. The more I think of you, Sash Hashem, Hamu Me'ailo, I want you more and more. Rachem Rachamen, I'm going to pour my Rachem on you. That's what we're holding. We're holding an Erev Rosh Hashanah. After a year of Yisartani Va'ivaseh, that we were whacked, and it didn't work. It didn't help us. And now we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, show us who you are in a different way. Pour your hashgacha, pour your brachas, pour your simchas on us so that we could come back to you with tshuva, not meyira, but tshuva me'ahava. And hopefully that way we'll come to you and come closer to you. And we'll be zocha to that incredible pasuk that we're going to say in just a few hours, and just in a day and a half, we'll say that Homo me'ale rachim rachamen HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say how much he loves us. We started saying L'David a few weeks ago. We're in the midst of saying L'David. And Chazal have a very unique insight in the first pasuk. L'David Hashem Ori V'Yishi. Ori, say Chazal, Zu Rosh Hashanah. Yishi, salvation, Zu Yom Kippur. Ki it's P'neni B'Sukho, that refers to Sukkos. What in the world is Chazal saying in this elaboration of the pasuk? Ori, you know, Rosh Hashanah is a time of light. Imagine, and I've mentioned this before, you're walking through a dark forest, and it's pitch black, and it's raining, and you have no idea where you're supposed to go, which direction you're supposed to turn. Even the heavens are overcast. You can't see where the North Star is, where the Big Dipper is, the Little Dipper. You don't know where you are. All of a sudden, there's a light bolt, a lightning bolt out of the heavens, and you see that everything's illuminated. Everything's clear. You know exactly where to go for a moment until the lightning bolt dissipates, and it's black once again. But at least now you know where to go. Now you have direction. Now you have to start working your way towards that end of the tunnel where you know where it is. You're not there yet. You have a long way to go. Ori zu Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the day of Or. It's the day that we are illuminated and we are recalibrated to see what it is that we're aiming towards. We're aiming towards a time of serving Hashem, a way of serving Hashem, a time when there will be a Yomos HaMashiach who will be free to serve Hashem. But how to get there? We're not there. There's a tunnel. There's a long trek. There's a dark forest that we have to wander our way through. And that's the Avodah V'Aser Simei Tshuva until Yishi, until we reach that Yeshua, that Yom Kippur, that Yeshua, that salvation, that light at the end of the tunnel. That's what Chazal mean. We have such a unique opportunity now. We have such a unique opportunity. We have the opportunity of Tshuva. And however we are prompted and motivated and whatever impetus pushes us to Tshuva, it doesn't matter what it is. We have to sort of just grab whatever opportunities we have, whether it's the vi'ivaser, that which I'm being whacked to do tshuva, which doesn't always work, or look for the goodness and the sweetness that Hashem pours on us. And if we look hard enough, we could usually find it. Sometimes we just have to look. And that could prompt us, hopefully, to do tshuva, even in an even higher level of tshuva, a tshuva me'ava. Except that on Rosh Hashanah, we don't do tshuva in the classical sense. We leave that for the week after Rosh Hashanah, for Yom HaKippurim. The Vidu, we don't have any Vidu on Rosh Hashanah, of course. We don't speak of Chait. We not only don't speak of Chait, we don't even eat nuts because they have the same gemachi of Chait. Halach l'mais, if any of you are cooking now, I told everybody that you should be cooking. You could be cooking while you're listening to my shir if you're in the house now. And you're welcome to be peeling carrots. I hope all the men are peeling carrots. And I hope all the women are sitting at the couch drinking their coffee, being comfortable. And men, while you're peeling the carrots, I want you to realize that if you have ground up nuts and you want to make a cake and put some nuts in your cake, it's okay. It's just nuts that are identified as nuts that we say you can't eat on Rosh Hashanah. But putting that aside, we don't mention anything about chait. We don't eat nuts which are gematria of chait. We don't do tshuva. But we have two different tools that we're going to use on Rosh Hashanah, and I'd like to focus on those two tools. I'd like to share with you a few thoughts, one on the tool that we have of tefillah, and secondly, on the tool that we have of teshuva. That's what we'll focus on for the next few minutes. I want to share with you a brief thought about tefila that will, I'm convinced, change your Shmona Esrei, certainly on Rosh Hashanah and the next week, and hopefully will change your Shmona Esrei for the rest of your lives. And it's a very brief thought from Yaros Dvash, from Yonos and Ivashitz. In his first drasha, in Chelek Aleph, he has a commentary, a running commentary, explaining the various brachas of Shmona Esrei. And he gets to the second bracha. The second bracha is what we call Tchiyas HaMeisim. And all the Mefarshi HaTfila wonder why in the beginning of Shmona Esrei do we talk about Tchiyas HaMeisim. Yes, it's a fundamental belief. Yes, it's a foundational belief. Yes, it's a fundamental part of what a Jew believes, but it doesn't seem that we need at the very beginning of Shmona Esrei to incorporate that belief into our tefillah. We want to be Tchiyas HaMeisim, we're aiming towards Tchiyas HaMeisim. And the Mefarshei HaTfilah have very different takes on what it means, the various, you know, you wake up in the morning, that itself is a Tchiyas HaMeisim. On a simple level, that's the way that resonates, I think, to me and I think to most people. You wake up in the morning, Baruch Hashem, I kesemo da'ani, thank you for returning my neshama. There's a Tchiyas HaMeis that happens every morning, and for that we say the Baruch of Tchiyas HaMeisim. I want to share with you some words of Rabbi Yonasan Eibschitz. He says that when a person is accepted back by Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mekabel the tshuva from a chote, that's a Tchiyas HaMeisim. And he explains. He says that when a person is involved with chet, a person is involved with resha, so that person is considered a mace, even while they're alive. We know that. We have other places in Chazal that Risham afil b'chayim kriya mesim. When a person does tshuva and HaKadosh Baruch accepts that tshuva, that's literally b'mechayim mesim. So therefore, what are we saying when we say the second bracha of Shemona Esrei three times a day? When we say, please b'mechayim mesim, you know what we're saying? We're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to come back to you and I want to do tshuva and I want you to accept my tefillah and thereby b'mechayim the misa that's within me. When I was a chote yesterday, my neshama had, who knows what, it was gone. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I ask you to take that tal shel tchiyas hameis, and tchiyas hameis will happen with some kind of dew that will emanate from the ground and will somehow enliven humanity at the right time in history. Says Rabbi Yonasan Eibschitz, you know what's so unique about tal? When you try to water plants, you have to take it from here and bring it to there, and you have to take the hose. Even if you have running water, you still have to do a little bit of work. But tal comes and waters and nourishes the plants. Belihis orusa dilatasi. You don't need any work whatsoever. Just everything just gets nourished automatically. And that's what we're asking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Give us that liveliness. Give us that life. Give us that energy. Give us that koach that comes with the life that we have as we move away from our veros, as we move closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, closer to you, that tal of tchiyas hameisim, not of tchiyas hameisim, we wish for that too. But right now we could focus on the tal of tchiyas hameisim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, accept our tefillos, accept our tshuva, every day that I'm coming closer to you for the next 10 and a half days or so, almost 11 days, just a little less than 11 days. Take all of our tshuva and be mechaya us, and let us achieve a tchiyas hameisim through the tshuva that we take, through the tshuva that we accomplish. On one hand, when we stand on Din and Rosh Hashanah, that's the idea of Rabbi Yonasan Eibschitz. When we think about Rosh Hashanah, we have so much at stake. You know, people think about what happened this year, and they think about a terrible event that occurred in June, a terrible event that occurred in Lag BaOmer, and it's true, but it's absolutely false. Nothing happened on Russia on June whatever. Nothing happened on Lag BaOmer. Everything that happened on Rosh Hashanah 366 days ago. And whatever happened this past year, every time you had a smile on your face, and every time you, God forbid, came down with a headache, every time that you stubbed your toe, was all nigzar 366 days ago on the last Rosh Hashanah. And the same is true for us today, looking forward to the coming year. There's so much at stake, but there's also so much opportunity. Rosh Hashanah, tomorrow is the day that Sarah was remembered. Rosh Hashanah was the day that Rachel was remembered. Rosh Hashanah was the day that Chana was remembered. All of our imahos, all of our great people who needed great things, and we all, in a certain sense, have our own needs, whether they're the needs that Sarah, Rachel, and Chanah were waiting for a child, or you and me for whatever needs that we have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers us on Rosh Hashanah. And on Rosh Hashanah is the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers and could put into play all the things that we need for ourselves and for our families and for Klal Yisrael. And when we come to Rosh Hashanah armed with the fact that we know that the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah are so powerful and have determined everything that happened last year and will determine everything that happens this year, it's like walking into a wrestling match carrying a bazooka. You know, we're carrying an incredibly powerful tool. We have the power of tefillah, and the tefillahs that we have, we have to dig into our tefillahs. The tefillahs that we have are so powerful, and Be'ez Hashem will bring us to the finish line with incredible success. That was a brief thought I wanted to share about tefillah. Now I'd like to share two thoughts about shofar. What's a shofar? I heard a beautiful insight from Ephraim Waxman a few years ago that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon on the sixth day of creation, which happens to be when? Rosh Hashanah. That's the day of the creation of Hayom Haras Olam. That doesn't mean that the world was created. It means that humanity was created. It's the first day of human history, not the day of history, not the first day of world history, but the first day of human history was Rosh Hashanah. That sixth day of creation, the world was created on the 25th of Elul. Rosh Hashanah was the day, the sixth day of creation when Adam HaRishon was created. Vayipach ba'pav nishmas chayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew neshama into Adam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu injected some, vayipach midilei nafach. He injected a bit of himself, kivayachal, a bit of infinity, a bit of his own kedusha into that life, that glob called the human body, and turned us into human beings. Ephraim Waxman said that when we blow shofar, what we're doing is we're doing that same action on that same day that Hashem blew himself into us. We're blowing, we blow that blow, that blast into the shofar. We're demonstrating that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is blowing, is being nofeach, life into us again on the same day, just like he did 5,782 years ago. In Vayiketz, we see the story of Yaakov Avinu as he is traveling, and he falls asleep, and he wakes up, Vayikatz, Mishnaso, and he says, Rashi points out, Ili yodati lo yashanti, oh my God, if I only realized that this was Beis Elokim, when he saw the Malachim going up and going down, and he says to himself, I only realized that this was Beis El, this was a place where the Malachim and traveling up to Shemayim, this is the place, the opening to the heavens, Ili yodati lo yashanti. If I only knew this, I would never have fallen asleep. Now, the shofar could wake us up in two different ways. There are two ways you could wake up. You could wake up by, you know, you hear the alarm, and oh, I gotta get up. Or when you wake up, you realize, oh my gosh, if I only realized, I would never have gone to sleep in the first place. You know, sometimes you're waiting for an important call, and you doze off at your desk, or you doze off, you're just so tired, you doze off on the couch, and you miss that important call that you were waiting for. Somebody knocked on the door who you really wanted to see. They were in town for Shabbos, and you wanted to see them, your good childhood friend, and you were sitting on the couch waiting for them. You doze off. They knocked not too hard. They knocked lightly enough that you didn't hear. That's not just a waking up after you wake up from that nap. That's a ilu yadati lo yashanti. I would never have fallen asleep in the first place. When we hear the shofar has to wake us up in a certain style. It has to wake us up in the sense of, if I realized how kadosh I am, how holy I am, what I could have accomplished. It's not that it wakes me up and says, oh, I'm mischarit for what I did. It's that I realize who I am as I'm receiving that breath of neshama. When I hear that shofar and I realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into me a little bit of himself, a little bit of his own kedusha, I realize how holy I am, how kadosh I am, what a human being could accomplish. Adam Yilosh Adame. It could be Adama also. But that's not the Adam we try to be. We try to be an Adam Yiloshan Adam. I could be Adam. I could be, imagine, like, I could be like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I could be Kadosh. I could be divine. I could be a Malach. If I realize that kind of waking up from my slumber of the Tirdas Olam Hazeh, then it's Ilu Yadati Lo Yashanti. I would never have gone to sleep in the first place if I realized the nature of what I can be, who I can be. And with that, Rabbi Ephraim Waxman points out that what kind of shofar do we use on Rosh Hashanah? We use a shofar Shel Ayil. Of course, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us, why do we use a shofar of ayil? Because to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiveyachol of HaKedis Yitzchak with the ayil. Ayil Rosh Tevos, ilu yadati lo yashanti. When you see that shofar shel ayil on Rosh Hashanah on the Bima, what you have to think about is, Hashem, I need to wake up. This is going to wake me up. But not just wake me up that, oh, I'm going to start improving myself. But realize the capacity and the potential that I have within me that you implanted within me, the neshama kadosha that you gave to me. If I only realize how special I was and the kochus that I have to serve you and to take care of your children, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ilu yodati lo yashanti, would never have fallen asleep in that slumber that I've been sleeping for the past 12 months. What's the difference? What's the difference when you just wake up or you wake up and you realize, ilu yodati lo yashanti, I should never have fallen asleep in the first place? The difference is how quickly you go back to bed. If you just woke up, so at some point you're going to go back to sleep. But if you realize that I should never have gone to sleep in the first place, it's much easier to stay awake and not go back to sleep. If we realize how chashuv the neshamas that we have that are implanted within us, If we realize the capacity that we could come, the amount of closeness that we could achieve through our tefillah, yes, our tefillah here in Lawrence and in Far Rockaway and Tufsh in the year 5782, the kedusha that we could generate through our tefillah, if we realize how big we could become through doing chesed and how many people we could impact and how people really care when we say good morning to them and how people would really feel good if we would give them a compliment, if we realize what we could do, we'll do more. We'll do more. We won't fall asleep so quickly. That's what we have to think about when we see that shofar shel ayil. Ilu yadan, if I only realized what the shofar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew the neshama into us, the kedusha that I have, we wouldn't fall asleep so fast. It's a beautiful insight from Ephraim Waxman. But I'd like to share with you another beautiful insight about the shofar. This is the insight of the Aruch HaShulchan. Chazal tell us that the reason why we blow the shofar multiple times, we blow the shofar before Musaf, what we call Tkiyas Demiusha, we blow the shofar again during Chazaras Hashatz, what's called Tkiyas Demu'uma, and then the Gemara asks, and the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah asks, why do we blow the shofar multiple times? And the Gemara says very cryptic words, three words, Kedei La'arbev HaSatan, to confuse the Satan. And it's so hard to understand what does that mean. First of all, the Satan wasn't born yesterday, right? Like if every 10-year-old realizes that we blow the shofar, you know, once, then we blow it again. So the Satan probably figured it out also in the past few thousand years that we've been blowing multiple times. So what kind of confusion did we get? So Tosis says that the Satan, he hears the shofar once, and then he hears the shofar a second time, he starts freaking out that maybe, you know, Mashiach is coming, because there's a time, the time of Mashiach will be heralded, ki taka b'shofar gadol, so he starts, you know, freaking out that he's going to be just turned into powder dust, because his job is over once the great shofar blows. So that's why he's concerned, he's urbav, he's all confused. Rashi says something different. Rashi says that the Satan sees how Bnei Yisrael are mechabev the mitzvos, right? We're doing we blow the shofar, and then we blow the shofar a whole second set. Really, midoraisa, we fulfill our mitzvah totally and completely with 30 blasts. And we do it another 30, and we do even more than that. But Mikra had to, we only have to do the first 30, another 30, 60. We do 100 just to be nice, but just as a minhag. But Mikra had in, there's 30 daraisa, 30 drabanan, and when the Satan sees that we're doing the mitzvahs again and again, so he becomes confused. What is it that makes him confused about seeing us blow the shofar a second time and thereby becoming confused? So there's a beautiful Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says that when we do mitzvahs with a second time, we do mitzvahs more and more and more, we show our ahava. So it's like we're doing tshuva me'ahava. If we do tshuva me'ahava, then all the Averos that we did, instead of just the Zdonos Nasim Shigogos, it's that Zdonos Nasim Mitzvos. It's as though we did mitzvah. So when the Satan will come and prosecute us, then all the Averos that he's going to prosecute us with, that he's going to claim, will end up counting for us as mitzvos. And therefore, what is he going to say when he sees we're coming with love, when we're doing the mitzvahs more and more and more and more, blowing our shofar? It's as though we're doing tshuva me'ava. So every mitzvah, every avera, I'm sorry, every avera, every sin, every chait that he comes to accuse us, to prosecute us with, all come back as being mitzvah. So what does he do? He has to shut his mouth. He can't say a word, because if he says a word of our averos, it ends up that with tshuva me'ava, they all turn into mitzvahs. So it's in his best interest to be silent, because he's just piling more mitzvahs on us when he's trying to prosecute us. That's the Chasam Sofer, not for now. But I want to share with you the thought with the Aruch HaShulchan's explanation. The Aruch HaShulchan says, why is it that we blow shofar multiple times? Well, that the Gemara says, because we blow the shofar multiple times, that confuses the Satan. Well, why do we, what's the historical background for the fact that we blow the shofar multiple times? So the Yerushalmi tells us in Rosh Hashanah that we used to blow the shofar just one time, early in the morning. Except at a certain point in history, there was a certain community that they blew the shofar earlier in the morning, 6:30 in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning. And the government, the local government, thought that the Jews in their headquarters, in their synagogue, were planning a revolt and were calling for arms. And it was a bugle cry to attack the neighboring Gentiles who surrounded us. And their army pounced on the shul and destroyed the people in the shul because they thought there was going to be a revolt. And since then, Chazal made a takana because of that terrible incident in history, 1,500, 1,800 years ago. Forevermore, Chazal decided, you know what, we should, instead of blowing early in the morning, we should blow a little later in the day. We should blow during Musaf. That was the takana. But because we don't want to wait all the way till Musaf, Why by Musaf? Because by Musaf, the Goyim realized that we're gathered for prayer. It's our holiday. We're gathered. It's not the first thing in the morning. We're davening. We're shaking. We're shuckling. We're singing. We're laning. So by that time, they'll realize that they won't be taken, you know, in a moment's notice and be scared that we're out to destroy anybody, that we're here to revolt. But that happens at Musaf. Chazal wanted us not to wait so late. So Chazal also instituted to do another tekiah a little bit earlier in the day so we could not have to wait all the way till Musaf. They also wanted to establish an earlier tekiah HaShofar. So they also established that earlier tekiah right after laning, before Musaf. Do you realize what just happened? A community was killed because of a mitzvah. And what's our reaction? Not only we did continue to do that mitzvah for all of history, but we do it more. We do it more. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, that attitude that a Jew has is the absolute confusion of the Satan. The Satan sees that when Bnei Yisrael suffer all kinds of troubles and suffer all kinds of travails, and our reaction is not to leave Torah and mitzvahs, but to the contrary, to be mechazik ourselves in Torah and mitzvahs, and blow shofar yet an additional time because, not despite, but because of that terrible event that occurred, the Satan doesn't know what to do. How do you deal with such a people? I bring them troubles, I kill out a whole community, I kill out a whole shul. And what do? They just mechazik themselves in mitzvahs? That's ma'arbeh the Satan. What an incredibly beautiful idea that the Aruch HaShulchan is telling us. When a person encounters any situation that it is, and what is our reaction when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us a little patch? Is our reaction one of fatalism and saying, "Ah, forget it, I give up, I had enough, I can't do this anymore"? Or do I say that Hashem sent me this, and this is an opportunity for me to strengthen myself, for me to rededicate myself, for me to push harder, for me to work hard to reach higher? That's what the Tekiah Shofar teaches us, and that attitude is an attitude that just confounds the Satan. He's silenced. Because what could he do? All he could do is cause problems for us. And even when he causes problems, we're just going to work harder. We're just going to do mitzvahs better. And that's why our reaction, whenever, God forbid, we suffer something, is always to strengthen ourselves in Torah and mitzvahs. That's a beautiful idea, a beautiful insight of the Aruch HaShulchan regarding Tekiah Shofar. I'd like to perhaps head towards the finish line with two more thoughts. Well, let's share a thought that Rav Aaron Cutler spoke in the Lakewood Yeshiva before Ne'ilah. He quoted a pasuk which at first glance seems very difficult to understand. The pasuk says like this, pasuk in Tehillim Perichav Hei, we ask Hashem, Chatos Neurai, all the avers that I did in my youth, of Sha'ai, all my sins, Al Tizkar, Hashem, do me a favor, don't remember those. Forget, long in the past, please, you know, forget those, please forget those. It's convenient forgetting. Don't remember anything about, you know, when I was young. Forget that. I'm a new person, forget that. What should you remember, Hashem? Says David HaMelech, Kechastecha, Zechor li ata. I want you to remember the chesed that I did to you. What chesed did I do to Hashem? Don't remember my averos, but I want you to remember the chesed that I do to you. That's what I want you to remember. What chesed did we do to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How in the world did we do chesed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I want to share with you an incredible medrash on that pasuk in Tehillim. Reb Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina Amar, Mashal Lamelech she'asa suda v'zimen es ha'orcha. A melech made a gigantic feast and he invited guests. He had a whole long list of all the people coming to his gala feast. And you know what happened? Did you ever go to a Syrian wedding? It's called for 7 p.m. and starts at 10 p.m. 1 hour passes, 2 hours pass, 3 hours pass. No one's there. Higu arba shows v'lo bo. 4 hours into the scheduled time, no one shows up at the king's feast. 5 hours into the king's feast, no one shows up. 6 hours, nobody shows up. Finally, the evening starts to arrive and the orchim start trickling in. Says the king to all the people who start trickling in late in the evening, Tovid gedolah nitzarach lachzivu lachem. I'm so grateful to you for coming. Because if not for you, all of this incredibly beautiful feast that I prepared would have had to be thrown to the dogs. The klavim ha'yisim ha'shlich. I'd have to throw it to the dogs. It would have been a total waste. That's the mashal. What's the nimshal? Kach omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu liYisrael. My dear children, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm so appreciative. You know why? Because I created an entire world for you. I created an entire world for you. And if not for you, all of that goodness and bracha and simcha, who would I give it to? Kol osa tova sheiskanti lasid lavo. I have a whole world of asid lavo. I have a world of olam haba waiting, of incredible, incredible bracha and simcha that I want to pour on you. I'm so glad that you showed up and did mitzvah so I could pour it on you. Do you know what that's telling us? It's telling us that we sometimes have the wrong attitude. We sometimes have the attitude that our lives are miserable and Hashem's out to get us and I'm never good enough and we're missing the point. Because it's the exact opposite. Hashem so much has so much available for us. He so much wants to pour His goodness on us. We just have to avail ourselves to it. We just have to latch on a little bit, a little bit. You know, there's a very unhealthy attitude, which I think is so prevalent. Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin, and Din is very serious. Din is very serious. And we can't imagine what Din is until you know that you have a court case, and then you speak to people before they have a court case, and you see that you hear in their voice. And I've had these conversations with people right before a court case, and you hear it in their voice in a flash, and that's what we should be. We should be shaking in our boots right now. We really should. For good reason, because we don't really deserve all that we would like to ask for HaKadosh Baruch, all that we have to beg, all that we feel that we need, that we want, we really don't deserve it. We should really be shaking in our boots right now. But, if you open up a Tanakh, you open up Nehemiah, Perek Ches, Nehemiah speaks about Rosh Hashanah. Vayomer Nehemiah, Ve'ezra, I'm skipping a few words, Ve'ezra HaSofer, he tells Bnei Yisrael the following. Hayom kadoshu l'Hashem Elokeichem. Today is a special day. Rosh Hashanah is a special day. It was on Rosh Hashanah, this conversation. Al tis ablu v'al tivku. I don't want you to be an avelos. I don't want you to cry today. Why does he say that to them? Continues the pasuk. Ki bochim kol ha'am. Kesher shamam es divri ha'torah. There was a large proclamation of the words of the Torah. They had read the Torah, and Bnei Yisrael, they hadn't heard this section of the Klal, whatever it was, and they were taken. They said, oh my gosh, there are mitzvahs that we're not doing. There are averus that we're committing. They didn't realize it until they had this massive tshuva meeting and this city field event where Nehemiah and Ezra read the Torah to them, and all of Bnei Yisrael started crying because we weren't doing what we should be doing. Sounds familiar? And Nehemiah says, no, don't cry. Don't be sad on Rosh Hashanah. Vayomer lahem, l'chu ichlu mashmanim, go eat delicious foods. Ushesumam takim, and drink sweet drinks. V'shelchu manos le'inachon lo, make sure that everybody in the community, all the poor people, have food to eat. Ki kadosh hayom la'adoneinu. It's a special day. Rosh Hashanah is a special day. Va'al te'atzvu, do not be sad. Ki chedvas Hashem, because the joy of Hashem, himu uschem, that's going to be your strength. In other words, even when we feel like we deserve to cry, that we don't deserve to be happy, that we don't deserve the things that we're coming to Hashem for, even with that, and even if it's true, and it probably is, Rosh Hashanah, we're not sad. Rosh Hashanah, we're not sad. It's a din of the psukim in Nehemiah, a din in Tanakh, that we're not supposed to be sad, we're not supposed to cry on Rosh Hashanah. And I want to share with you two insights on that pasuk. First, from the Chida. The Chida, Gadol Hador of the Chachmei Sfarad, he was actually born in Yerushalayim in the early 1700s, and he traveled around the world. He became a Rav in Italy afterwards. It was actually Nifter in Italy until his body was brought back to Yerushalayim in the 60s, 150 years after he was Nifter in Italy. But the Chida says something very unusual. The Chida says, you know what it means that we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sorry, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, don't be sad on Rosh Hashanah, chedvas Hashem hima uschem. What does it mean? The joy of Hashem is your strength? The Chida says something very unusual. Not so much related to Rosh Hashanah, but says the Chida, Al Derech Drashi says, you know, there are two kochos in the world. There's the koch of Esav and there's the koch of Yisrael, of Yaakov. Esav was supposed to get the bracha of Olam Hazeh. Yaakov was supposed to inherit Olam Haba. You know, we look around and we see the Jews are doing pretty nicely. I see Jews seem to be very comfortable in Olam Hazeh. I see Jews wearing nice clothing. I see Jews driving, you know, later model cars. I see Jews living in comfortable houses. Well, why is that? That's supposed to be for Esav. We're supposed to be living with nothing, obviously with whatever we need minimally to exist. We're supposed to be living worlds of Olam Haba and the nations of the world. Esav is supposed to have the bracha of Olam Hazeh. The answer is, says the Chida, that the whole world was waiting until Klal Yisrael would be mekabel the Torah. And if we wouldn't have been mekabel the Torah, the whole world would have gone back to Tov Avo, like Chazal say, the Gemara in Shabbos Peches. In other words, that which B'nai Yisrael were mekabel the Torah and were mekayim the Torah allowed the world to exist. And therefore, he uses a little bars, a little idea, ever learn Bava Metzia? And you learn the sugya of matzil mizuta shel yam mishlulisa shanar. If something is going to be washed away by the river, we just had a big storm and there was a lot of things swept away. If something is swept away from somebody's front yard and it lands on my front yard, I had a student who lives in Great Neck. And during Hurricane Sandy, he told me that one of his neighbors who lived on the bay, on the north shore of Long Island, a boat ended up on his backyard. That's literally what the Gemara Bava Metzia talks about. You know what the halacha is? If a boat is swept away from its moorings, from its dock, and ends up in your backyard, or something else ends up in your backyard because it's swept away by the overflow of the river, it's going to be lost anyway, you're allowed to keep it. So if we wouldn't have accepted the Torah, says the Chida, what would have happened to all of Olam Hazeh? The whole world would have been destroyed. So by our accepting the Torah and committing ourselves to the Torah, we were kona the rights to even Olam Hazeh. And that's what the Pasuk means. Eat delicious foods, or stubam takim, and drink delicious drinks. What do you mean? I thought it's the world of Esav. It's not for us. No, says the Pasuk. Chedvas Hashem, the Torah, which is the joy of Hashem. Torah is pikudei Hashem yishar mesamchev, it makes us joyous. Himo ischem, that gives you your strength to be kona all the pleasures of Olam Hazeh. You can have all the delicious things. You can have beautiful clothing. You can drive your late model car. You can have a very comfortable house. Oh, why? Because by you mekabel the Torah, you acquire that which would have been swept away. The whole world would have been swept away without Torah. The world would have ceased to exist. So by you being mekabel Torah, you were saved something that would have been lost, that was like being matzah, mizuta, shayam, mishlulisa, shanar. And therefore we have the rights to all the sweets of the world. But that's just sort of tongue-in-cheek. But I want to share with you what Rav Sadia Gaon says about this pasuk. Rav Sadia Gaon says that when we are told by Nehemiah, L'chu l'chlu mashmanim, go eat sweet foods, u'shesumam takim, it doesn't mean that we're okay. You don't be sad, don't be down, don't be despondent, even though we're short, we've come up short in our responsibilities. It's not that even though, you could still eat good food, you could still celebrate. Says Rav Sadia Gaon, Ichlu mashmanim, kidei shetehei hashana hazos, shmeina aleichem. I want you to eat good food, and by eating good food, you will be zocha to a year of goodness. Ushesumam takan, and drink sweet drinks, says Rav Sadia Gaon, kidei shetehei hashana hazos mesuka aleichem, that will be a sweet year for you. In other words, this directive of Nehemiah, of eating and drinking on Rosh Hashanah, is not just that you're allowed to, but that by celebrating on Rosh Hashanah, that is going to give us the sweetness of the coming year. So all of those of you who are right now on have your cameras closed because you're in the kitchen preparing all that food, you're not just saying, oy vey, I really should be preparing with a sefer and with tears and with the pen and going through my averas and doing tshuva. No, you're supposed to be making that simis. You're supposed to be making that honey cake right now. You're supposed to be making that sweet potato kugel. You know why? Because as you're going to eat that sweet food on Rosh Hashanah, that is, says Rav Sadia Gaon as a pasuk in Nehemiah, that will give you the sweetness in the year, that will give you the goodness in the coming year. You know, we're starting a journey. We're starting the journey, Rosh Hashanah, Aser Yisrei Tshuva, Yom HaKippur Baaleinu L'Tova. That journey, because we can get that lightning bolt that illuminates us, and then we're going to have that week and a half to travel to get to that Yishi, which is Yom Kippur. And when you go on a journey, the worst thing is when you go alone. And it's so good to know that we're not going alone. We just read Parshas Nitzavim. Parshas Nitzavim spoke about tshuva. V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. We have to go back to Hashem. But you know what it says after that? V'shav Hashem Elokecha es shavuscha. Hashem will... The words don't make sense. The word should be, He will bring you back. V'heshiv Hashem. As Rashi points out, He'll bring you back from your galus. Not that He will return you within your galus. He doesn't return you. He brings you back from the galus. He's going, says Rashi, Rabbi Sin Lamdu Mikan, that when we're in galus, Hashchina kivayachol shiruya im Yisrael, in the tzaros of our galus, Rashi says. And when we're going to have our geula be'ezus Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to experience that geula with us. That means wherever we find ourselves, in whatever pain we find ourselves, in whatever tzaras we find ourselves, in whatever gates halmavis we find ourselves, in whatever confounding challenges we find ourselves, whatever confusion we find ourselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting there, right next to us on the couch, right next to us in the office, right next to us on the LIRR or on the A-train. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting there next to us, going through whatever we're going through, experiencing whatever we're experiencing. And as we travel for the next 10 days to reach that yishi of Yom Kippur, Kadosh Baruch Hu is holding our hands step by step, but He's doing more than holding our hands. He's waiting for us to do a little bit, to open our hearts to tshuva a little bit. The Navi says that ani kivrosh ra'anan. I'm like a young sapling. You ever see a weeping willow? Weeping willow with its trunk tall and straight, high into the sky, 20, 30, 40, 50 feet high. And then the branches cascade downwards, reaching down as if they're reaching down to the floor. That's what the Navi HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes Himself, Kivrosh Ha'anan, like that branch, that of a young sapling, that bendable branch hanging down, bent over. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is extending His hand to that. We have to look into at Rosh Hashanah as there's a hand coming down, that weeping willow reaching down to us, waiting for us to just grab that branch that's hanging down. The koach of a little bit of tshuva, the koach of a little bit of tefillah on these days is more productive than the same exact work, the same exact tefillah, the same exact tshuva that if we had done any other time of the year. Let's take advantage of these incredible days ahead of us. Let's take advantage of the incredible koach of Rosh Hashanah haba aleinu letova. Let's dig into the tefillah that we have. Let's dig into the shofar. Let's realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give. And Be'ezus Hashem will be zocha together as a tzibur. V'heshev es shvuscha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take us out of the galus, not from outside, but He'll walk with us hand in hand as He is walking with us out of the galus. O bizocha Be'ezus Hashem to Hashanas Chaim v'Shalom. A year sheyemali Hashem kol mishaloseinu letova. A year of simcha. A year of simchos, smachos. A year of health. A year Hashanas Chaim v'Shalom. A year of parnasa. Somebody was in the office just a few minutes ago, and he said, we say, Bori Pri Hagafen, Hey, Gimel, Pei, Nun. Year of Hatzlacha, Year of Gezunt, Year of Parnasa, Year of Nachas, Yiddish Nachas. So we should be Zocha to all the good things for ourselves, for all of Klal Yisrael. Thank you all for joining, and I wish you all a Ksiva, a Chasima Tova. Thank you very much. A good Kibben Shtiar. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Chazan. We're looking forward to being inspired by you. Thank you. Good night. Good evening. Good night. I look forward to seeing you all in shul and good health. Be'ez Hashem. Thank you for joining. Thank you, Yossi. Bye-bye.